We learn it, Mar Cheshvan Torah, from the Sefer Tzvila Tzadik. Tzvila Tzadik, you write it down, I didn't write it at the top of the page, it was for Tzvi Elimelech Shapira of Bluzhev, the Bluzhev Rebbe. Now, if that name Tzvi Elimelech Shapira sounds familiar, the exact same name as the Bnei Yisachar. What was the relationship between the Tzvila Tzadik and the Bnei Yisachar? It's his grandson. Bnei Yisachar had a son, David, the Sefer Tzemach David, or David of Dinov. Bnei Yisachar passed away in 1841. That was the same year that Tzvi Letzadik was born. Okay, so again, his name is Tzvi Elimelech Shapira. He was the Rebbe of Bluzhev. All the famous halakhah stories about the Bluzhev Rebbe, that was his grandson. That's Rav Yisrael Shapira. Very often if you hear a story about the Bluzhev Rebbe, so that's the Bluzhev Rebbe who survived the Holocaust. But his grandfather was this Tzaddik, the Tzvila Tzaddik, Tzvi Elimelech Shapira of Bluzhev. He lived from 1841 to 1924. And he was named for his grandfather, who was the Bnei Yisachar, who passed away also in 1841. So, he must have been born, I guess, shortly after the Bnei Yisachar had passed away. And like his grandfather, what he does in his Sefer HaMoadim is that he peels back the cover and lets us understand the secrets of all of the Yom Tovim. I have to really start with Bnei Yisachar, but we did it as a shiur a couple of years ago, and it's online, so I wanted to be ma'arich on that. But I'm just going to start. I didn't photocopy for everyone Bnei Yisachar, but I'm just going to open it up for a second here. I have it here on Safaria, and I want to just give us a little background to Chodesh Cheshvan, okay, just for a minute, because Bnei Yisachar always tells us a few. I always call them puzzle pieces. I have to come up with a better word. But he gives us a few, I don't know what to call them. A few nuggets, yeah. Okay, that one's for you, Judah Klein. Nuggets. And Isaac. He gives us a point of entry. He gives us an access point to each of the months. It's really based on Sefer Yetzirah, right? So every month has a name of Hashem that's associated with it. Every month has an action associated with it. Every month has a letter associated. Every month has a body part. Every month has a shevet. And very often it seems very random and it doesn't create much of a picture, which is why I like the mashal of puzzle pieces, because until you put the pieces together, you have no idea what you're looking at. Once you put the pieces together, then it forms a beautiful tapestry. Okay, so let's just get down, again, using the writings of the Bnei Yisachar in his first piece on Mar Cheshvan, just so we know what the pieces are, and then we'll see, the Bluzhev Rebbe is going to speak about some of the pieces, and maybe I'll add some of the other pieces as well, about that. Okay? But here's what he writes. And this is how the Bnei Yisachar starts his writings on each month. He gives you the Mahus HaChodesh, the essence of the month. Okay? So he writes, he says that the name of Hashem, Bo Yidubar Mahus HaChodesh Mar Cheshvan, we're going to speak about the essence of the month of Mar Cheshvan, and he tells us, what is the name of Hashem that corresponds to this month? Now, what he means by the name of Hashem, he means the Tziruf Havaya, the arrangement of Hashem's most basic and most common name, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. You can rearrange those letters in 12 different ways. If you look in a Nusach Svar Tzidr by Musaf, there's usually a little chart, the art scroll Nusach Svar Tzidr by Musaf on Rosh Chodesh has the chart. It tells you the name of Hashem that corresponds to each month. Okay, so just for the sake of review, I know some of you know this, but what month is Hashem's name Keseder, Yud Kei Vav Kei? What month is Hashem's name in order? If you have to guess, if you don't know, take a guess. Usually things start off in order and then they fall apart. No. Right? So it's probably going to be either Tishrei or Nisan. It's Nisan. Why is it Nisan? Because it's Hashem's name in order, Seder. The highlight, of course, of Nisan is the Pesach Seder. Nisan's all about the world getting back to the proper Seder. There's an amazing Sfasemis. Sfasemis said, you see that the enslavement of Mitzrayim is against the Seder of the world. Mamish, this past Shabbos is Parsha. Of the children of Noah, who's the slave? Canaan, Cham. Mitzrayim comes from that line. So Mitzrayim was the one who was cursed by Noah to be a slave. Klal Yisrael, we're Hashem's chosen people. So it's mamish connected the Seder of the Bria that Jews should be enslaved to Egyptians. In the beginning of time, it was supposed to be the opposite, if anything. And therefore, Sfasemba says, we call it the Pesach Seder because the night of the Seder, which commemorates coming out of Mitzrayim, freeing ourselves from the bondage of Egypt, is a return to the proper Seder of things. We're supposed to be B'nai Chorin, right? A true Ben Chorin is one who's Osik B'Torah. So we leave Mitzrayim, we get the Torah, we become B'nai Chorin. Choros al-aluchos, al-tikri choros al-acheros. The Jews are set free. The Egyptians, our oppressors, are the ones who are punished. That's the restoration of the Seder. So the Seder of things is Chodesh Nisan. Nisan is the first of the months. Even though in our brains sometimes we think of Tishrei, but Nisan is really HaChodesh Ezeh Lachem, right? Rishon Hu Lachem, Lachadshei Hashana. So Nisan is Yud Kei Vav Kei. Which month is Hashem's name backwards? Hey Vav Hey Yud. When does Hashem turn his back, so to speak, on Kal Yisrael, if you could say such a thing? Or at least present superficially to turn his back. I gave you a hint, because usually if I just ask people, which month is Hashem's name backwards, everyone always says Adar, then Hafachu. It's like always the go-to. Hey, but if I present it the way I did, which month does Hashem, so to speak, turn away from us? So you might say Av. The problem with that is, we all know that Tu B'Av, the Mishnah says in Tanis, is one of the two greatest Jewish holidays. Lohayu Yom Tovim LiYisrael K'Chamisha Asar B'Av and Yom Kippur. So from the middle point of Av to the end, it's tremendous Nechama. So that can't be the Chodesh Av is Hashem turning his back on us. At least not fully. What month is Din from beginning to end? You can say Cheshvan. But Cheshvan is kind of just empty. There's a void in Cheshvan. It's not necessarily negative. Tammuz, even though, again, we start to think of things getting bad from Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, the 3 weeks, but really the whole month of Tammuz is this man of Midas Adin. And it rolls over into, it peaks, so to speak, at the beginning of Av. But really, the entire month of Tammuz is in Tammuz and Av are Esav Dika months. Right? There are a couple months that belong to Esav. Tammuz and Av are Esav months. Tammuz, from beginning to end, is really a zman of Midas Adin. The letter, for example, for Chodesh Tammuz is the letter Ches, which is Chet. Right? Ches and Tes are Tammuz and Av. Ches and Tes spell Chet, sin. It's a very dark time, Tammuz and Av. So Tammuz is Hashem's name completely backwards. Hey Vav, Hey Yud. What do you think Av is? What do you think the name? What do you think the arrangement of Hashem's name for Chodesh Av is? If you can get it, if you can get this based on thinking, I'll be very proud. Based on what we just explained, it's half and half. Very good. It starts off bad. It starts off backwards. Hey Vav, right? Meaning just like Thomas, it starts off Hashem's name completely backwards. Hey Vav, so to speak, the first half of the month, the first two letters, and then what's the rest of it? It's supposed to Hey Vav Hey Yud, which is Thomas, completely backwards. It's Hey Vav. And then Yod Hey, it straightens out. Because from the midway point of Av, Tu B'Av, things start to straighten out. So it's Gevaldik. Each month has tremendous, tremendous secrets to be revealed. Okay, so what is the name of Hashem for the month of Aschar? Vav, and Hey, Hey, and Yod. Vav, Hey, Hey, Yod is the name of Hashem for Cheshvan. Okay? Vav, Hey, Hey, Yod. Now we'll have to see. Let's just look at the page for a second. Look at the page in front of you. Okay, the side that says Gimel in the upper left-hand corner. Look at the Tzvila Tzadik for a second. We'll start in the right-hand column, Oz Beis. Halfway down the middle right column. Okay, what does Aleph Yud stand for? Anyone have a guess? Could stand for Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't over here. O Yomar. Meaning he said something in Oz Aleph, and now he's giving another pshat. O Yomar, perhaps you could say. Madua Yotze Hatseiruf de Chodesh Mar Cheshvan. Everyone see where we are on the right hand side, right hand column? Right, Oz Beis. O Yomar, Madua Yotze Hatseiruf de Chodesh Mar Cheshvan. Why is it that the name of Cheshvan comes min Hanu Taven from the following words? Okay, from the following phrase. Now there's always a pasuk that connects to the name of Hashem for the month. So Nisan, which we said is Hashem's name in order, Yod Kei Vav Kei, what pasuk goes with that? Yismachu Hashamayim, right? Look at the Rashi tables. Yismachu Hashamayim. New finish. Visagel Haaretz. Yud Kei Vav Kei. Okay. What do they tell you the name for Cheshvan is? Vav Hey Hey Yud. So now you can take a look at it. Right. It's from the pasuk in Devarim Perachav Vav. Udvash Hayom Hazeh Hashem. You see Vav Hey Hey Yud. I like to underline the first four letters because that's what he's pointing out here. Right, Vav, Hey, Hey, Yod. This is the pasuk that corresponds to Chodesh Mar Cheshvan. Now, what does that mean? Udvash Hayom Hazeh Hashem? It doesn't sound like we're punctuating that pasuk properly. Udvash. So what's the actual pasuk? So let's take a look. Dvarim Perachav Vav, Pasuk Tez Vav, and Pasuk Tez Zayin. Okay? Parshas Kisavo. The pasuk says, I'll read you from the beginning of the pasuk. Hashkifa mima'on kodshecha, min ha-shamayim, uvarech es amcha es Yisrael, ve'es ha-adama esher nasata lanu. Hashem basically showered down, look down from on high, shower your bracha down upon Klal Yisrael, and upon the land that you have given us, kasher nishbata la'avoseinu, as you promised the avos, eretz zavas chalav, udvash. So there's our udvash, okay? The last word in Pasuk Tez Vav, put a period after the word udvash, just so you can at least understand. How does the next pasuk begin? Hayom hazeh Hashem Elokecha mitzav chalasos esachukim ha'ilav esemishpatim. God commands you to do mitzvos. So it's a very strange selection. Usually when we have, you know, a pasuk that hints to the letters of Hashem's name, it's usually a selection from within one pasuk. Here you have the last word of pasuk tezavav, udvash, and then the first three words of pasuk tezayin, hayom hazeh Hashem. But that's part of the secret. Yeah. That's a good question. It's a good question. There are sometimes other pasukim that have it, right? So that's part of your question is why this pasuk as opposed to another pasuk which might also have vav hey hey yud. Right? Why this pasuk as opposed to, and where? What's the earliest source for it? Where does it come from? So I'm not exactly sure, to be honest. The Bnei Yisrael always quotes from an early Kabbalistic work called Mishnas Chasidim. The Sefer Yetzirah, I don't think the Sefer Yetzirah gives, I'm actually pretty positive. The Sefer Yetzirah doesn't bring the Pasuk. The Sefer Yetzirah gives us some of the other pieces that connect to the month, which he's about to do in Os Beis of the Bnei Yisrael. But the name of Hashem and its corresponding Pasuk, I think the corresponding Pasuk, it always says in the Bnei Yisrael, Mishnas Chasidim. So I don't know if it's, I'm not sure what the earliest source is. But the Bnei Yisrael, again, based on earlier Kabbalistic works, who've identified a particular pasuk, gives a payrush to the pasuk very often. But again, I'm not really sure what the source is. Okay, so but the Bnei Yisrael at least tells us these are the facts. Again, it's a good question, a very fair question. Okay, but the facts are vav hey hey yud udvash hayom hazeh Hashem. Okay, that's the name of Hashem for the month. Now let's just pause here again in Tzvi Latzadik. Let's go back to the grandfather. Go back to the Rebbe of Dinov. Let's go back to the Bnei Yisrael. And now the Bnei Yisrael gives us a few other things. I just want you to have the framework for Mar Cheshvan, and then we'll see what the Tefillah Tzadik wants to tell us. Okay? Says the Bnei Yisrael, quoting the Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah is arguably the earliest Kabbalistic work that we have in some type of written form. Some say that it was written by Avram Avinu, a Kabbalah that was written by Avram Avinu, perhaps, put into print by Avram Avinu. And the Sefer Yetzirah says that the letter for the month of Mar Cheshvan is a nun. Okay, let's just write down the pieces. The letter for the month of Mar Cheshvan, Himlich Os Nun. Hashem took the letter Nun. And he attached it to, every month has an action or an emotion. Okay, Boker Tov. The action or emotion for Mar Cheshvan is Reyach, scent, smell. Pesach, for example, Nisan, the action for Nisan is Dibur. Because Kolamar Belesaper, he's a Meshubach. Pesach Seder is all about sharing the story. If he got it to Levincha, talking. Iyar is thinking. Adar is laughter. Okay, so the expression for the month of Cheshvan that we're in now, today is the fifth day of Cheshvan, is Reach, is smell, scent. He says that the mazel, the horoscope, the astrological sign for Cheshvan is the Akrav, Scorpio, the scorpion. Akrav means a scorpion. So again, we seem to have some very random collection of things here, but it's based on the Sefer Yetzirah, so we know it's not random at all. Mar Cheshvan is connected to the letter Nun, to the sense of smell, Reach. The mazel, the horoscope, the astrological sign is the Akrav, it's a scorpion. The month, as we said, of course, is Mar Cheshvan. And the body part is the Dakin, which means the small intestine. The intestines correspond to Cheshvan. Intestines, the letter Nun, the sense of smell, Mar Cheshvan. Scorpion. What's the Shevet? By the way, we need one last piece. What's the Shevet for the month of for the month of Cheshvan? Menashe. Okay, who one of you guys want to go first? Who wanted the Tefillah Tzaddik to go first? Who wants to go first? Anyone have anything to say? No, think of it. Look at the list for a second and tell me. You have something to say?
Nun is not like nothing.
Okay, nun is nothing if you're playing Jardel, that's true. What else is nun? You're right. There is a negativity to nun.
It's not
Ashrei. Right, it's the nun of Ashrei, the lack of nun of Ashrei. Why is nun not an Ashrei? Brachos Dav Dalit, why is nun not an Ashrei? Because it's Nefila. Which makes sense. Why does that make sense for Mar Cheshvan? What's the feeling of Mar Cheshvan? Let's just talk outside. So the feeling of Mar Cheshvan is what? We just went through an Elul, we went through a Tishrei, the Mamish flying high, and now we're back into the grind. Major Yerida. Nefila. It's a Nefila. Nun is Nefila. Nun is always Nefila. There's no Nun in Ashrei, the Gemara says, because it would have represented the falling out of the Jewish people. And it's hinted to in the next Pasuk, because what's the letter Samach of Ashrei? Somech Hashem l'chol anoflim. So we would have fallen. So Nun always represents a Nefila. Also, Nun has a certain negativity in what other sense? The Shar Hanun, right? That place in Mitzrayim that we couldn't go. We were on the 49th level of impurity. If we would have fallen to level 50, it's the point of no return. It would have been complete destruction for the Jewish people. There's a lot to say related to this past week's parsha, but just B'derech Remez for just a moment. Where was the tower that they were building to wage war against God? Where was it? Where was it located? Well, it was in a valley. It was in a low place, representing a certain lowliness of those individuals. And what was the name of that place? Shinar. They went to Shinar. Shinar is the letters Shar Nun. Mamish, wage war against God. Create a society whose whole mission is to fight God. That's Mamish the Shar Nun. That's what the tzaddikim say. At the level 50 of impurity, the Rebbe of Kamarna said in one of his svarim, that what is the Shar Nun? Kamarna Rebbe said, it's Kfira Napikorsis. And the Archaim HaKadosh says in Shmos Perek Gimel that before Mashiach comes, we're going to enter into the Shar Nun. In Mitzrayim, God took us out before we fell to level 50, but now we're going to make it to level 50. Now we're in level 50, which is why there's such a spirit of heresy, kfir and apikorsis in the world today. God is so not popular in the world today. People whose whole mission statement is just to wage war against God. They're also building their Migdal Bavel with their big, you know, towers, thought, of philosophy, academic centers, big buildings. It's all a battle against God. It's the Dor Mabel. It's Mamish the Dor Mabel, Dor Flaga. It's waging war against Hashem again. I told you once, that's why this Tuchina Rebbe once on a Shushan Purim spoke about how the 50 states of America correspond to the Shar Nun. And he says, just like the Medjez, he's totally drunk when he said this, but that's when the deepest stars come out. He said that that's why, I wasn't there at the time, but I heard this. He said, that's why the Medrash talks about when a person goes to the Gehenim Shel Eish and the Gehenim Shel Sheleg. And that's why originally there were 48 states, and then there's Hawaii and Alaska. Alaska's the cold, and Hawaii is the hot. And it's the Shar Nun, and the America Western culture is the, as many tzaddikim said, is really the last stop in Gullis to bring Torah to America and try to be talking the Shar Nun. But the Kfir and Apikorsis, which is so popular, the rejection of God, which is, you know, allows for the mindless or the thoughtful and heretical, you know, ways of Western society, whether it's the throw off the yoke of God and party, or it's become a philosophical genius or scientist whose advanced knowledge rejects the notion of a God, that's all the Shar Nun. So the Nun of Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, the letter for the month of Mar Cheshvan, the bitter Cheshvan, some explain it, is the letter Nun. Because we just went through an Elul and Tishrei. There was no time. We were Lifnei Hashem Titar, Yom Kippur. Come on, we were still touching a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the way the Rav described. The cleansing of Yom Kippur is literally us rubbing up against Hashem. Hashem is literally the ultimate soap, Kivyachol. And Hashem is cleansing us. Hashem is the ultimate mikvah. Right? Ma mikvah mataris tamei, ma'afa Kadosh Baruch Hu mataris Yisrael. And now we get thrown back into the regular routine of Cheshvan. And the letter of Cheshvan is a Nun. Because it's an afila. Okay, what else? What else? What else do we say goes with Cheshvan? Menashe. Menashe goes with Cheshvan. Why was Menashe called Menashe? The Shevet for the month of Cheshvan is Menashe. Why was Menashe called Menashe? Kinashani Elokim is Kol Amali. What was Yosef saying when he named his two children Ephraim and Menashe? Nashani. What's Nashani? We say it when we make a Siyam in the Hadron. You don't want to forget the Masechta. Right? Hadron Alach Masechta is Bava Kama. Hadron Chalan. Nashim. Why are women Nashim? Nashim. Menashe. What does the word mean? Kinashani Elokim. Nashani means Yosef says, because I forgot my troubles. Yosef named his son Menashe because he feels he's moved past some of the struggles that he had, being sold by his brothers, could have been very angry and bitter. So he names his children Ephraim and Menashe. Ephraim represents a certain fruitfulness, a certain success, being able to move forward. And part of being able to move forward is being able to let go of the past. Kinashani Elokim es kol amali. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu has allowed me to forget my suffering, my struggles. So Nashani, Menashe, when we finish a Masechta, that we hope not to forget it, and we hope that it won't forget us, that we should stay connected to the Torah that we learn. So why is forgetfulness connected to Mar Cheshvan? Because again, that's our greatest fear. That's exactly the Nefila. Right? I was so aware of Hashem, I couldn't stop thinking about Hashem in Tishrei. When I was sitting in the sukkah, I was in the presence of Hashem. How could I forget Hashem? You can't forget something that's right in front of your face. But now as life goes on and I'm back to the grind, it's very easy to forget about Hashem. It's very easy to forget all the promises I made at the Ilah on Yom Kippur. It's very easy to forget how I was feeling a month ago. Chodesh El and Tishrei. The feelings of trepidation and awe and love and joy. Tshuv Me'ava, Tshuv Me'ira, Sukkis, Simchas Torah. Like it all runs away. It's all forgotten so quickly. So Menashe, whose very name is Kavod to forgetfulness, is the Shevet for the month of Mar Cheshvan. Okay, what else was on our list? Smell. Scent. Reach. We said the action for the month of Cheshvan. If Nisan is speaking and Iyar thinking, the action or the emotion for the month of Cheshvan is what? Is smelling. Scent. The Chush HaReach. Anyone? What do you think? Say it, Joshua. Go for it, Nani. What do you want to say?
The summer month.
Okay, what are the Bissam and Abdullah do? Okay.
It's sad that we're leaving.
Okay, so if there's a time in our weekly schedule where we highlight Chush HaReach, it's by Abdullah, and it's a time where we're saying goodbye to our Neshama Yisera, so that fits nicely with my Cheshvan. Here I was, my Neshama was on such a high level, right? And now, same way that the Havdalah spice is supposed to cheer us up a little bit, but it's really an acknowledgement of the fact that the awesome connection that I had is starting to dissipate, that something of an extra spiritual presence is being taken away from me now. So in a similar fashion, maybe Mar Cheshvan is the smell. Maybe it's highlighting the fact that something was here and now it's leaving. A spiritual level that was present is now departing. Okay? That's maybe the sad side of things. What smell in a good sense? What smell in like a what's a more positive way of smell? Smells a remarkable kalach. Smell has the ability to take a person and transport a person in a very powerful way. Those who have an experience like this know exactly what I'm talking about. My mother still talks about a certain smell of a certain cleansing product that made her crazy when she was pregnant with me. And if she smells that thing, it like takes her back to like 37 years ago when she was pregnant. I have my own example of it. When I was sick a number of years ago, so there was a certain smell of the soap in the hospital. And I remember I once went to the Bergenfield Library. After Baruch Hashem, I was better. Probably like a year and a half after my treatment. I don't remember exactly when. I went to the Bergenfield Library. I went to the bathroom there, and I washed my hands, and all of a sudden I got this smell, and I was back in Hackensack Hospital. Like it transports a person to a certain place. Smell is a very powerful ability to draw on the memory. There's a powerful connection between the memory and smell, which is, again, Menashe is forgetfulness, and smell sometimes helps us to remember. So it could be, in a positive sense, right, the idea of Reach is, okay, it's true.
Elul and Tishrei are gone. I don't feel exactly the way. It's not a sensory. When I was in the sukkah, my whole body was in the presence of Hashem. The sukkah is a full body mitzvah. I was mamish there. When I'm there, when I'm present on Yom Kippur, come on, my mind's not all over the place on Yom Kippur. I'm present. I'm fully there. Body and soul, head to toe. Now, I'm all over the place. I'm back to the grind. I'm back to school. I'm back to work. I'm back to whatever I'm up to. I'm still trying to hold on to whatever it was. But the sense of smell means what? Maybe I could still catch a whiff of it. Maybe I could still maintain a connection to it. Right? Maybe I can somehow sense it a little bit. I can still smell it a little bit. I can still taste it a little bit. It's still somewhere out there. Smell, again, has a unique ability to bring a person back to something that was. So it could be that Chodesh Rosh Hashanah, we're challenging ourselves to still what? To still smell a little bit. The reyach, the same way that in Pirkei Avos it gives a mashal, right, of the person who walks into a besamim shop versus a borsuki. Borsuki means a tannery. If you walk into a perfume store, you come out smelling like perfume. If you walk into a place where they're tanning hides, very strong, intense smell, so your clothing will smell like that also. So in a certain sense, if we pass through Tishrei, an Elul in Tishrei, we've acquired a certain good smell, and we hope that smell is going to linger. We hope that it'll still, you know, we'll still have a little bit of the scent of the positive months that we experienced in Elul and Tishrei. Yeah, you want to say something about that?
Yeah, something just about smell.
Let's hear.
I heard once that smell is the only sense that wasn't part of the...
Very good, right? Smell represents a certain purity.
And also...
That even when things are going bad... Wait, let's just talk that out for half a second, right? Just so everyone knows what you're talking about. If you look by the Chet Eitz Hadas, the root of all sin, it's very clear in the Pesukim that what? That Chava sees the fruit... Nechmad Lamara, she looks at the fruit. She used her eyes. She was tempted by the fruit with her eyes. She touched the fruit, Rashi says. The Nachash pushed her into the tree. She touched the fruit. The touching is very much a part of what's happening there. Obviously, she tasted the fruit. She listened. She was seduced to the explanation of the Nachash. Oh, God's not actually going to kill you. God's just being, you know, jealous. He doesn't want anyone else to be on his level. If you eat from the fruit, you'll become godlike. And Adam listens to Chava, he makes the foolish mistake of listening to his wife's suggestion. So four of the five senses are present by the Chet Eitz Hadas. Touch, taste, hearing, and seeing. But smell, we don't find explicitly in the Pasuk that smell is misused. Which is why smell maintains a certain spiritual quality, right? Of the senses, smell is a very spiritual quality. It's connected to our Neshama Yisera on Shabbos. And that's why when the Gemara, this is actually a B'nai Sastra, has it in a few places, when the Gemara tries to bring a proof that you make a bracha on smell, what pasuk does it bring? The Gemara says, how do you know you make a bracha if you smell something? Right, kol ha'neshama tahaluka haluka is the source for, that's the Gemara. So the B'nai Sastra says, what kind of question is that? Why do you make a bracha on smell? What's the Gemara's rule for why you make a bracha ever? Why do you make a bracha when you eat an apple? Why do you make a bracha when you eat a slice of bread? What's the Gemara's? The Gemara brings a svara, the beginning of the sixth parak of brachos. What's the svara? Right, it's asr to steal. Asr lehanos mi'olam hazeh. Below bracha, you're not allowed to take something without saying thank you to Hashem. So why does the Gemara need to bring a special pasuk for smell? Kol ha'nishama ta'aluka aluka. So the B'nai Sasra explains, you might think that part of the reason that we make a bracha on food is because we really shouldn't have a right to eat it, to taste it, to look at it, to enjoy it, because we misused it by the Chet Eitz Hadas. And when we make a bracha, we're extracting the spiritually positive aspects of the food from the negative aspects of the food. But smell was never damaged by the original sin. So you might think, I don't need special permission. Smell is a spiritual experience. It's not a physical experience. So the Gemara answers, it's true, but the body and the soul is nana, so you need to make a bracha on smell. But the fact that the Gemara even had a hava, meaning that you don't make a bracha on smell, is what Natan said, that smell was never part of the original sin. Okay, so there is a very positive side to smell. What else do you want to say? Anything else?
I was also going to say that since it's so small, you can't do an aveira with your nose.
You can't do an aveira with your nose.
You can do an aveira with every part of your senses, but you can't do an aveira with
your... Okay, it's probably the hardest of the five senses to sin with, right?
Can you do an aveira?
Yeah, you could smell the scent of avodah zarah. Yeah, okay, this thing, we can come up with ways to do aveiras with our nose if we get creative. Right? But you're right, it's easier, much easier to do an avera right, with your mouth, with your ears, with your eyes, with your body, with touch, right? Much easier to do in a there. So yes, in that sense, it is more spiritual in that way. Okay, what were the other things that were associated with cheshvan? So we explained a little bit the letter nun, we explained a little bit the sense of smell, we explained a little bit the shevet, Menashe, right? What else? The scorpion, the akrav. Anyone want to say something about the scorpion? Anyone here ever stung by a scorpion? Bitten by a scorpion? Just look at the word akrav. What do you see in the word akrav? I told you the other day that when we were talking about the piece in Sicha Saran about how your name is is your essence. What do they tell you? I told you the Baal Shem Tov said if you look at the word neshama, the middle two letters, so to speak, the inner part of the word neshama, nun shin mem hei, the middle two letters are shame. So your name is your inner essence. Look at the word akrav. What's the pnimius of the akrav? Ayin kof reish beis. Kar. Chazal even talk about it. I don't know what the scientific physical reality of a scorpion sting is, but Chazal talk about the difference between a snake's bite and the poison of the snake, which is a very like hot sensation, and the sting of the scorpion, which is like a cold sensation. Now, again, I don't know. We could probably Google that and find out if that's a scientific reality or Chazal is talking about some type of spiritual reality. But Chazal identified the nachash as being associated with a certain chamimus, a certain heating of the body, and the akrav, as the middle two letters, kar, which means cold, represent a certain cooling, of the body, which again is true for the weather, which very quickly changes to much colder in cheshvan, right? But it's also what? Spiritually, it's a cooling off of our avodas Hashem. Here we were, so spiritually connected, we were on fire in Chodesh Tishrei, so many mitzvahs, so many opportunities, Simchas Beis Shueva, Lulav and Esrog, Tkia Shofar, Tshuva, Slichos, come on, it was easy to feel on fire for Hashem. But now things are cooling off a little bit. The Akrav is the cooling off of our Avodas Hashem. Okay, so all of a sudden, these random puzzle pieces start to make a ton of sense once you start to, and again, we're just scratching the surface. Okay, let's learn Tzvilat Tzadik now. I think that's enough Hakdama, and let's look inside in the Bluzhev Rebbe and see what he says. Okay, so again, we have the outline given to us by the Bnei Yisrael. Some of the ideas that we suggested and I shared with you are from the Bnei Yisrael. Some of them are your own chidushim. So you'll learn Bnei Yisrael and you'll find out which ones were your chidushim, which ones have already been said by tzaddikim, and you'll go from there. Okay, let's take a look inside. Oh, Yomar. Everyone see? Nathan, you got a copy? We're on page Gimel. It says Gimel in the upper left-hand corner. We're on the right-hand side where it says the letter Bet with a... with a little, what's that called? Parentheses. Okay, Aleph Yod stands for O Yomar. Madua Yotze. So now, the one thing we didn't explain yet is what is the name of Hashem, right? Vav Hei Hei Yod. The name of Hashem for Cheshvan. So it comes from the Pasuk, Udvash Hayom Hazeh Hashem Daika. It comes specifically from that arrangement, from that Pasuk. I just realized we have to be careful because it says Yod Kei Vav Kei. I don't know if that's considered Shemus because it has the little thing in between. Has the little quotation, so it could be that's fine. I don't know if the page is shameless, but maybe we should be careful with it. If you're not going to hold on to the paper, just give it back to me. Okay, Udvash Hayom Hazeh Hashem Daika. Dihine HaChodesh Shelefnei Zehu Chodesh Tishrei. Yesh Bo Chavilos Mitzvos B'chol Yom. So let's see. Thematically, it's what we've been talking about. Chodesh Tishrei is a time where there are chavilos, literally mountains, mounds of mitzvos every day. And we're surrounded on all sides by such sweet opportunities. In fact, it's interesting, the Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, right, the first word of the series of words that hints to Hashem's name is Udvash. Udvash. Dvash, we use Dvash. Dip the apple in the honey, dip the chal in the honey. Interesting. So Tishrei is a very sweet month in terms of the opportunity to do mitzvos. V'rov hashpaos tovos ein dai be'er ve'ein dai ola kanota. And the amount of hashpa, the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is beyond something we could even put into explanation. It's an endless amount of opportunity that we're given. And all of a sudden, it's like a cold, dark, empty month of Mar Cheshvan. When this wondrous, lovely month that we feel so connected to passes, we all miss Chodesh Tishrei so much. It was so nice. I have to think about my college classes. I was able to just engage in spiritual pursuits and spend time with family. And just, it was just a good time. It was a sweet time, sweet memories from Tishrei. Asher nechzam imenu kol mine mesikus haheim. All that sweetness is gone. Asher hayu lo kol achodesh hazeat at. Everything that we had until now, it's all gone. Ubeprat asher kol ayin maskil ra'u be'enav v'lo zar. Shebe'emes nechzar midas marcheshven v'midas tishrei kaminyan dvash. Okay, he gives us his first remez. He says, anyone who has eyes to see will notice right away that the difference in gematria between marcheshven and Tishrei is Dvash. What's the gematria of Mar Cheshvan? 604. What's the gematria of Tishrei? 910. What's the difference between Tishrei and Mar Cheshvan? 306, which is gematria Dvash. B'nai Yisoschar brings a remez. It says Dvash is gematria Av Harachaman, which is why we're so busy with honey on Rosh Hashanah night, a time of din when Hashem is judging us. Dvash is gematria Av Harachaman, where we say, Hashem, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu have Rachmanis on us. Zachrinu l'chayim, melech hafetz b'chayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, go easy on us. Avinu Malkeinu, not just Malkeinu. But be an Av HaRachem on us, be a sweet, loving father to us. So the difference between Tishrei and Mar Cheshvan in Gematria is Dvash. Seems like we've lost our Dvash, we've lost our sweetness. Tzeva Chashov, go calculate it yourself, you'll see. V'hu v'adai l'horos al-kocha, it comes to clearly allude to this. Al ha'alamas, ha'alamus b'chinas mesikut. What's halim? Halim means concealment. The concealment of the sweetness of the honey of Chodesh Tishrei, which has passed. Says the Tzvilat Tzadik, we feel that our life is not as sweet as it was a month ago. That's the feeling. And therefore comes along the name of Hashem for Chodesh Mar Cheshvan, Vav Hei Hei Yod. Where is it hinted to in the Torah? In a pretty dark parsha, Kisavo, Tochacha. And yet, take a look, about two lines from the bottom. Lachein shaper yotze hatseiruf dechodesh mar cheshvan halazeh min hanu teven. Therefore, the name of Hashem for the month of mar cheshvan comes specifically from these words. Udvash hayom hazeh Hashem. Daika. Explicitly. Specifically. This phrase, udvash hayom hazeh Hashem. What's it teaching us? We don't really understand it yet. Top of the left column, where it's underlined. Lahoros, it comes to teach us. The af al pichein, even though you feel like, oh, yeah, I miss my sukkah so much. I miss the sound of the shofar, which would wake me up in the morning so much. Lahoros, it comes to teach us. The af al pichein biyacholes biyad kol adam. Lahamshich elav bichinas mesikus hadvash. It's still entirely possible for us to continue with the honey. Don't abandon the honey. In the Weinberg family, we keep the honey out for like, I don't know, a long time. Partially because my kids just like it. But the honey on the challah, it's not. We go way beyond what you know any safer minhag you can find. Somewhere like post Zos Chanukah, like maybe we put it away, you know. But it hangs around for a long time. But we're learning now that yeah, the honey can remain.
Shin in the vav cheshvan is 306.
Ah, okay, good. We're gonna have to look carefully at the word cheshvan. Okay, cheshvan has a shin in the vav. Okay, we'll have to see what to do with Cheshvan, with the letters of Cheshvan. Okay, very good. Let's see. So don't think that the honey is gone. Right? The name of Hashem for the month of Cheshvan, again, hinted to in the Pasuk, Udvash Hayom Hazeh Hashem, teaches us that what? You don't have to let go of Hashem. There's no reason to let go of Hashem. And there's no reason to put away the honey, the sweetness of Chodesh Tishrei. Every day is sweet. I saw a piece in Mishpacha magazine this Erev Shabbos. It was a piece from, Rabbi Emanuel Feldman, I think is his name, from Atlanta. Is that his name? So he wrote a very nice piece. He wrote this description of, like, standing in shul, and it's kind of like the story with the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov said he once came to a particular shul, and he said, this is the most crowded shul I've ever been to. I can't even walk through the door, it's so crowded in there. So the Hasid and the Baal Shem Tov looked inside, and it wasn't crowded at all. I can't go in. This shul's so crowded. So they said, what do you mean? He said, it's crowded with Torah. It's filled with Torah and tefillah. It's filled with Torah. He He said, Rebbe, that's good. That seems like a great place to daven. So Hashem Tov said, no. The Torah and the Tefillah in this shul, right, Chazal say that any mitzvos that are performed without techilu urechimu, with ava and yiran ava, right, lo parachis la'ila, it's a line from the Zohar Kaddish. That if you do a mitzvah, if you daven without yiran ava, so it lacks wings, it can't fly above. And the same thing is true. If you learn Torah, the Torah is not energized, so it lacks wings. It can't ascend. So Hashem said, this shul is so filled with Torah and tefillah. He's been critical. He's saying that the Torah and tefillah that's learned in this shul is learned without Yiras Hashem, it's learned without Avas Hashem. And therefore, all the tefillahs, they're stuck in the shul. They don't have the ability to ascend to the higher lamas. It's a very crowded shul. I can't go into such a shul. So Emmanuel Feldman wrote in Mishpacha magazine this week, he said, painted this picture. And he basically was describing that there's sometimes like we're very into tefillah, you know, the ni'ilah tefillahs, those are like really good tefillahs. But he described the picture of like a rabbi looking around the shul and just seeing like, you know, tefillahs like lurking in the corners. He said, what about all the tefillahs all year round that we don't daven? Like, why are we, you know, the psuga de zimra of like Yom Kippur morning, wow, like, you know, we try to give it a little more oomph. What about like a regular Mar Cheshvan day? Who chooses to make Mar Cheshvan bitter? We do. If it's mar, if it's bitter, it's because of us. The same way, there's a line. It says that that when Bnei Yisrael drank the waters, right? They came to Mar, and the waters were bitter. Kimarim heim. So it's also it's a teaching. I think that they say from the Baal Shem Tov. Kimarim heim. They were bitter. It's not going on the waters. It's going on Klal Yisrael. If something's wrong with your taste buds, you could taste the sweetest thing in the world, and it tastes bitter to you. It's not bitter. You're bitter. So when they came to, they tasted the water, and it says that it was bitter, kimarim haim, that they were bitter. It means them, they were bitter. The people were bitter. So if Mar Cheshvan is going to be a month that's not sweet, that's our fault. And that's the name of Hashem for the month of Mar Cheshvan is hitting. Udvash hayom hazeh Hashem. The sweetness remains. Okay, so we don't have a lulav, we don't have a shofar, we don't have an esrog, we don't have a sukkah, we don't have slichos. Baruch Hashem, we don't have slichos. We miss slichos so much. We miss those extra tefillos. We're more energized about, right? But udvash hayom hazeh, what's the dvash today? Hashem's still here. God's still listening. You can still daven. So I felt it's a beautiful piece. I'm killing it, but you read the piece, you'll see it. If you get Mishpacha magazine, maybe I'll bring it in tomorrow. I'll read it to you. It's beautiful. He said, what about like the regular Asher Yatzar on a Tuesday afternoon? What about a regular, Oz Yashir on a Wednesday morning? What about all the regular tefillos? Okay, so it's not Tishrei. It doesn't have that Tishrei or El Dika feel. But why should it not be a sweet month? Why should Mar Cheshvan be bitter? So he says, so even though Hashem has, so to speak, left the building, there's no such thing as Hashem leaving the building. Hashem's still around. Again, Lahoros, where it's underlined. It could still be sweet. Even though we don't have the same extra mitzvos that we had. Yerach ha'etonim is... As we refer to Tishrei, the strong month, Chazal say, because it's strong with mitzvahs, filled with opportunities. We don't have opportunities. Bavakam is not an opportunity. Learning Sichas Aran is not an opportunity. Going to visit someone in the hospital is not an opportunity. Davening Shachar is not an opportunity. Mincha on a Sunday afternoon is not an opportunity. But we don't have opportunities to serve Hashem anymore. We're all bitter, we're all sabrachim. We have plenty of sweetness that's left. When you learn Torah, Torah is relevant every day. Bava Kamma is every day. From Yom Kippur to a boring day in Cheshvan. You're still able to continue to experience the Dvash. So now let's understand the Pasuk in context. Right? It's a strange phrase because we said Udvash is the last word of one Pasuk. And Hayom Azeh Hashem is the beginning of the next pasuk. So let's read that next pasuk. What's the context here? Udvash says the pasuk. You want sweetness. What's the next pasuk? Hayom Azeh Hashem Elokecha Mitzavecha. What does the pasuk say? Hashem is still commanding you. Daika Shulashon Dibuk V'Chibur. Hashem is still Mitzavecha. Why is a mitzvah called a mitzvah? What does the word mitzvah mean? The Sfarim HaKadoshim always explained that a mitzvah is a lashon of what? Of tzavsa. Right? Tzavsa means what? Attachment, friendship, companionship. Tzavsa, connection. You're still connected. Who's choosing to not be connected anymore? V'zeu gamkin kavana siyam ha-kosav. Let's read the end of the pasuk. He says, Es ha-chukim ma'eilav es ha-mishpatim. Right? What does the pasuk say? Hayom hazeh Hashem lokecha mitzavcha es hachukim ha'eilev es hamishpatim. You still have plenty of opportunities. Torah is sweet. V'hayinu ayidei limud hachukim u'mishpatei ha'torah yuchol kol echad lahadvik es atzmo lebechinas hadvash. You could still be what? You could still be stuck to Hashem. Dveikus. Dvash. Honey. It's not just sweet, it's also sticky. Stick to Hashem. Get stuck to Hashem. You get some dvash in your hands. It's not so easy to get it off. Lahargish bechinas dvash haruchnias, the Torah hamasuka, the Torah is so sweet. And by the way, the more you work at the Torah, the sweeter it becomes. Real sweetness takes effort. In the physical world, sometimes the sweetest things are the things that, you know, it's so easy. That's what makes it sweet. In the spiritual world, if you want something sweet, you got to work at it. The more you work at it, from the effort, you come to experience the delight of it. That's where Rav Avram Shor says the gematria of amelus, we always talk about, right, being omel b'torah, working hard in Torah. He says the gematria of amelus is matok, sweet. The sweetness comes from the amelus, 546. The harder you work, the sweeter it gets. So when you work, when you sit down, okay, come on, sukkah's a good time. Bava Kama's not such a good time. It's hard stuff. Follow the sukkah, and Bava Kama's not so easy. Yeah, but when you get it, it's so sweet. It's even sweeter than the sukkah. And you know what else is sweet? You know what else can be really sweet? Being mekadei shem shemayim, doing mitzvos and ma'isim tovim in the real world. You can't spend your whole life in the bubble of the sukkah, in the shul of Tishrei. In Tishrei, in Elul, we're so busy. We're in shul a lot, we're in the beis medrash a lot, we're in the sukkah a lot. They have to go out to the world. Oh, yeah, yeah, it's so scary. The world is such a scary place. But the world can actually make your avodas Hashem sweeter. I'll tell you an awesome vart from the Majid Sarebi, in the Divrei Yisrael. I wanted to share it the other night at that panel discussion we did in the Beis Medrash. I didn't get a chance to. It's from Parshas Noach. Such a great vart. Did I tell? When did I say this? Who was I saying this to? Did we talk about this? Getting like this weird deja vu now. Did I tell you about when the Majid Sarebi's... When did I share this? Did I tell you this? When the Majid Sarebi asked his grandfather if it's appropriate for a chassid to be involved in business? I definitely told it somewhere. Okay, so the Majid Sarebi says that he asked his grandfather, he tells a story, that a chassid came to his grandfather. Grandfather of the Majid Sarebi was Rabbi Cheskel of Kuzmir. So someone once came to his grandfather, it was a chassidish Rebbe, and said, Rebbe, oh, I know what I said. Thursday night chabur, I said. Because we were talking about sitting with a bunch of people who are, you know, all in the working world. So I told him this part. So he asked the Rebbe, he said, Rebbe, is it appropriate for a chassid to be osik in Derech Eretz? To have a job, to have a regular job. To work in Midtown Manhattan, is that in the... Can I call myself a chassid if I work in Midtown Manhattan? And the Rebbe said, not only is it not a contradiction to chassidus, listen to this line. I wish I had the sefer here. Divrei Yisrael is the name of the sefer, Yisrael of Majitz, first Majitz Rebbe, passed away in 1910. Majitz Rebbe said, not only, his grandfather said, not only is it not a contradiction to being a chassid, you don't know the first thing about chassidus until you start to work. You don't know anything about chassidus until you start to work. And he went on to explain, very much in line with certainly the way Chabad explains what chassidus is about, and what Yiddishkeit is about, call it chassidus all you want, it's what Judaism is about, is what? The Nis'aveh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lios L'dir B'tachtonim. Hashem doesn't just want to conquer the shul. Hashem wants to conquer the world. Hashem wants to conquer the world. Hashem wants everything to be holy. Hashem wants Melochol Aretz Kvodo. Einod Mavado. Hashem wants everything to be lifted up. So when you go out to the world and you're Mekadesh Shem Shemayim and you run your business in accordance with Halacha, right, and you create a work environment that's Kadosh, when many other people create a work environment that's filled with the biggest tumah, that's the biggest nachas ruach to Hashem. That's the greatest source of celebration for Hashem. When you take something physical and you're mekadesh it. By the way, what do we say? The action for the month of Cheshvan is smell. Where do we first encounter smell in the Torah? Noah comes out of his teva, he brings karbanos, and there's a reach nichoach. It's a reach nichoach, a delicious smell. Karbanos is a strange thing. Seems so strange. You're feeding, like, what is it? You're feeding God like animals. God likes barbecue. What's going on here? God doesn't eat. What's the reach nichoach? But Hashem says, look, you're taking an animal, you're turning it into the service of Hashem. It's ma'aj, you're lifting it up. You're turning it from an animal into a carbon, into dveikus, carbon, kiruv, skarvus. It's gvaldik. Take something so physical and you make it so holy. It's one thing to take your own physical body. You at least have a neshama. If you take an animal, it doesn't have the same neshama that you have, and to take it to elevate it, to bring a carbon ola, like Noah's offering carbonos, reach nicha, gvaldik smell. Hashem loves it. So Majid Rabbi said, you don't know the first thing about the Rabbi Chaskel of Kuzmir said, you don't know the first thing about Hasidus. Until what? Until you're Osek in Derech Eretz. So you're Osek in physical pursuits, mundane pursuits. And then he said, that's the whole Indian of Noach, sending the Orev, the raven, off the boat. And it's flying and it's coming back and forth. Ratzav Ashov. It's coming and going. Like a person who goes to work, he gets up in the morning, he goes to shul, and then he leaves the shul, and he goes to his office. And then later at night, he comes back to the basement, and davens, maybe gets a mincha, and a marv, and he learns for a little bit. And then he goes home, and he's constantly coming and going. He says, I wish I could just be a koilnik who sits in the basement all day. But so frustrating, all the coming and going, the back and forth, the traveling, the schlepping. It says the Majlis Rebbe, the bird that keeps coming and going is called what? An orev. He says an orev is a lashon of what? Sweetness. Like we say in Birchas HaTorah every morning, V'harevna, Hashem make the Torah sweet. Right? The sweetness of Torah, says the Majlis Rebbe, comes from the coming and going. And ask some of your friends who are no longer in YU anymore, who are working now. Ask them if they're serious B'nai Torah, they'll tell you there's a certain sweetness I have in my learning now that I never had when I was in yeshiva. To be able to come back from my office and to sit down, and maybe much less in terms of the hours of time I'm learning, but to be able to come back to the Beis Medrash when I have to go out to the well and then I come back, I appreciate it so much more. It's so much sweeter. Take it for granted, like when it's part of my daily schedule, when it's, when I'm in yeshiva, that's what I do. When most of my day is something else, and I'm ruts of a show, and I'm coming and going, that's when the orevus, when the arvus, the arevus, the sweetness comes out. Okay, so dafka, through that struggle comes the sweetness. So don't tell me there's no dvash. Don't tell me there's no honey left in the month of Mar Cheshvan. Okay, ad kan os beis. Okay, let's do os gimel, do a little bit of os gimel. Okay, the bottom of the page. Mar Cheshvan. Let's get into the name Mar Cheshvan. So we've explained a little bit now the name of Hashem for Cheshvan, right? The Vav Hei Hei Yud. We didn't really explain what Vav Hei Hei Yud means, but we explained the pasuk that it's connected to. Udvash Hayom Hazeh Hashem. Don't think you can't be stuck to Hashem with sweetness. We're still stuck to Hashem, like the sticky and sweet honey. We cling to Hashem through Torah and mitzvahs, and don't think without this, the extra special mitzvahs of the sukkah and the lulav and the shofar, and it's just as special. Every day is just as special. We choose to make it a sweet day as opposed to a mar Cheshvan. Okay, let's go further. Mar Cheshvan, bottom left-hand corner. Mar Cheshvan, Os Gimel. Tfilat Tzadik, Os Gimel. Tam al zeh madua nikra shemo b'Yisrael achodesh zeh b'shem Mar Cheshvan daika. Mar Cheshvan is not even a Jewish word. Mar Cheshvan is not the name that we find in the Navi for this month. What is this month called in the Navi? Yerach Bul. Right, that's why in Chodesh Mar Cheshvan there was a Ma'bul. Right, a Ma'bul. For Mem days, for 40 days in the month of Cheshvan, the rains descended. Okay, the Ma'bul. Chodesh Bul. Bnei Sosfa says, you know what Bul is? Bul, Beis Vav Lama. That's the name in the Navi for Chodesh Cheshvan. Cheshvan is a name we picked up in Gullis. It's a Babylonian word. Yushalmi says these are names we brought back with us from Gullis. But Mashkacha Pratis, there's a pnimius to it. Yeah, what's bull? So again, a Jew feels, ugh, I've lost all the special mitzvahs. However, we still have the Torah. It's starting to get darker earlier. You know what the Gemara says in Erevin? The nighttime was given for what? For Limud Torah. So if it gets dark earlier, that means more night seder. The Rambam writes, most of your Torah you acquire at night. There's something very special. There's a Chut Shel Chesed for a person who learns Torah at night. There's something unique about learning Torah at night. So if there's more night in the wintertime, if it's darker for more hours, yeah, that means it's the time of Torah. More opportunities to learn Torah. The name of this month in the Navi is Yerach Bul, Beis Vav Lamed. Anyone know the secret of Beis Vav Lamed? What letter does the Torah start with? Beis. What letter does the Torah end with? Lamed. What does the Gemara in Kedushin say the middle letter of the Torah is? The Vav of the word Gachon. So Beis Vav Lamed is beginning, middle, and end of Torah. You think this is a month that has no opportunities? It's maybe more opportunities. I don't know. You put down your lulav and esrog. You put down your sukkah. Simchas Torah. You dance at the Torah, and then you sit down in cheshron. You open up bava kama. You start to shteig. That's what the month is about. It's about learning Torah. Chodesh bol. Okay. So we want to understand, why is this month called Mar Cheshvan? So he says, Yesh lo mar al pi ma shekibalti michrod, Adoni avi mori v'rabi ha-kadosh, zechrono levracha, zechr l'chai ha-olam haba, may he be remembered in the oil of Emes, right, quoting from his father. He says, my father explained as follows, shekeshem shebechol layla v'layla, nasa maisa ha-cheshvan b'marom, al kol his halichus hayom, she'ovar, just like every night when the neshama goes up, there's a cheshbon nefesh. That's why people sometimes take a few moments before they go to sleep to think about their day, to say, what did I do right today? What did I do wrong today? Cheshbon nefesh. What am I going to do better tomorrow? That's exactly what the neshama undergoes when you go to sleep at night. The neshama goes up, and there's a calculation. It sits down for a mini judgment, a 24-hour judgment period. What did your day look like? What did you do right? What did you do wrong? What could you do better? So my father explained, he writes, says the Tfilat Tzadik, Kach besof kol chodesh v'chodesh. Every month, there's a monthly calculation. Again, this takes place in Shemayim, but it should also, we should do it. Samach tchilas chidush ha-chodesh ha-sheni, the Samach lay. Right as you're about to begin the new month, let's take stock of what happened in the last month. Nasa maisa ha-cheshbon b'marom, turn the page over. Ha-kol his halich was the chol chodesh avar. We make an accounting of everything that you went through in the past month. Asher al kein sof hachadashim hamufcharim ketishrei v'chidol me'is ratzon hema. So therefore, months that typically are better months, like Tishrei, the end of the month has a certain energy to it. Because as we're making a calculation for the month of Tishrei, business was good in Tishrei. Chodesh Tammuz and Av, we're like, we don't want to add up, you know, the end of the month. Chodesh Cheshvan, we're like a little embarrassed at the end of the month, if we didn't do it right. Tishrei, come on, let's sit down and talk, God. I have what to show. How many hours did I build in the sukkah? How many times did I shake a lulav and esrog? How many sounds of the shofar did I hear? How many tefillos did I daven? Kavaldik. How much tshuva did I do? So at the end of every month, especially a good month, there's a lot to be excited about. V'rava d'ravin ishtakach b'hu. And therefore, it's a time of rava d'ravin. It's an es ratzon. It's a kavaldik time, the end of a month. Right? Like a businessman who had a successful month, the end of the month sits down and he sees the account. Wow, look how up we are this past month. Tremendous business. Taking stock of the whole month. So at the end of the month, the same way the businessman sits down, he pulls up all his files, sits down with all his papers, and he goes over all the sales. So to speak, at the end of the month, we sit down with all the tzedakah and all the tefillah and all the mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim and all the Torah. We have a big pile in front of us, you know? Gevaldik success. L'chein v'aday avor zeh b'koch es oras halazeh nasem ha'mela es ratzon gadol. Ad kan dvar v'kadosh. That's what my father explained. The way to think about the end of every month. End of every day is a miniature cheshbon and nefesh. The end of every month is a cheshbon on the whole month. And think about why, especially at the end of good months, right? There's a feeling of intense joy and intense longing. I want to hold on to the month, and that's because it was a good month. Yeah, of course I want to hold on to Tishrei. I feel good about myself at the end of a Tishrei. Okay. V'hinei Yisrael kedoshim darchem b'kodesh lahachin es atzmo lefnei achodesh hashvi hamufchar halazeh kol achodesh ha'elul hakodin lo b'torah v'tfilah v'tachanunu v'slichos v'chidomeh. We don't just come to chodesh what Tishrei without preparing. We have two really good months in a row. We take El really seriously, and we take Tishrei very seriously. So by the time these 2 months are over, we mamish, we're a stack of cash, pile of mitzvahs. And we view them as one long process, no? El and Tishrei. No one thinks of those as two separate worlds. El is the preparation for Tishrei. It's one long process of coming before Hashem. Ki achana al davar nechshav lemaisa atzmo kenoda. The preparation for something is like the thing. Sometimes the achana is even greater than the thing. V'achana derabahu vaday. Achana is a very chashav thing. We don't just fall into mitzvahs. L'shem yichud kutshabricha, Hashem, prepare me that I should do this mitzvah right. We prepare ourselves for mitzvahs. We count 49 days before we come to Kabbalah's Torah. We don't just take it for granted that a mitzvah just happens or Torah just happens. You prepare yourself. Lachain bevo sof tishrei. So when you come to the end of Tishrei, azayin is ora kol maisa tov hahi asher asu Yisrael b'chol hanu shnei chadashim. So we look at this maj, this pile of mitzvos, at the end of these 2 months. V'nirshamin taman l'mayla kol tov hahi. And you can imagine what an impact it made upon a person. What an imprint it made upon a person. Yeah, I'm able, it's true, think about it. You could be, I don't know, in the middle of Teves. If you close your eyes, you could put yourself. It's such a powerful month, Tishrei. You could close your eyes and put yourself right back in the sukkah. Think of a good moment in the sukkah. Think of a powerful moment of davening. Right? Think of a hallel during the course of a sukkahs. Think of a moment of when you choked up and you cried a little bit on Yom Kippur. It's very easy because it was so powerful that it made a roshem. It left a mark. It left a mark. Yeah? When you're shaman taman lamal, it left a mark on high, certainly. It left a strong imprint. It's gonna define the whole year, these months. Lachin Shaper Ace Hasofa Tachlis Da Khadasham Alalu. Besaschalas u knisa sachodish de samahu. So when I enter into Marcheshvan, I want to remind myself that what? I want to take a Roshem. At least a Reach, at least a scent of the months. Again, I may not be in Elul or Tishrei anymore. I'm in Mar Cheshvan now. But I want to be able to smell it. I want to be able to still maintain a connection to it. I want to be able to have an imprint of it, a trace of it. Something should linger. So he says, therefore, what do we call the month? Take a look, 4 lines from the bottom. We call this month what? Mar Cheshvan. He says the letters Mar Cheshvan is what? Shehu Tziraf Roshem Nun Ches. What's a Roshem? Roshem means a mark. This is the Roshem of Nun Ches, the 58 days of Elul and Tishrei. 29 days in each month, Elul and Tishrei, a total of 58 days. This is the Roshem Nun Ches, or he says in parentheses, maybe you could say it differently, Shomer Nun Ches. We want to be Shomer the Nun Ches. We want to hang on to these 58. Eila told us Noach. Noach, what's the first parsha we read? We come to Chodesh Mar Cheshvan every year. The first parsha is what? Eila told us Noach. What emerges from Noach? Noach, right? Yes, there's a Roshem, there's a Rishim. We take it with us. It's not we left it behind. What's born out of Noach? What came from these 58 days? Right? Noach, we got it. We were Kona them. We required these 58 days. And we're going to guard them. We're going to hold on to them. Hainu hanun ches yamim. Shemin haschalas elo atchilas yom ha-chodesh harishon demar cheshvan. Tzeva chashov. Count it up yourself. It's 58 days. Asher oz be'es ahi nirsham lamala kol ha-tov ahi. Din nun ches yom ha-nizkar. Top of the left column. V'nishmarin mehayom ahu. V'hala. L'chol ha-shana. We hold on to it. It makes a roshem. It makes a mark. Roshem, by the way, is the same gematria as matok, a sweet. I told you before, amelis is gematria matok. Stuchina Rabbi always also talks about that number, 546 is gematria roshem. So the sweetness leaves a mark. Yeah, it's not so easy to get all the honey out of the jar. There's some liquid, you pour it right out, there's nothing left in the cup. You pour out the water, there's nothing left. Okay, a couple of drops, you can shake them out. You can't shake out the honey so easily, it leaves a roshem. It's like oil in that way. Oil also has to do with this number, 546, for another time. Suchina Rebbe talks about it all the time, 546. Right? But these days have left a mark upon us. V'nishmarin mahayomahu, top of the left column, second line. V'nishmarin mahayomahu v'ala l'chol hashana kula l'horid lanu shefa. We continue to draw on it. There's a downpouring. Whatever came down in Tishrei and Cheshvan, it's still pouring down. We're still able to be makabel that shefa. We're still ready to receive at least a reshima of it, a trace of it. It's still dripping. It's still dripping in the month of Cheshvan. That's the downpouring of the Mabel also, of Parshas Noach. Right? It's still raining down upon us. It's what the Arizal describes, some type of pouring down of Shefa every day when we recite Shema and we daven Shmona Esrei. Kein hischa levo etzleinu ha-shefa shenishma b'chadash ma'ila. Achar kol avodas utztakus utfilas d'chadash ma'ilu. We earned it over the course of an Elul and Tishrei, and now we're collecting. It's pouring down. It's mamash pouring down upon us. He says, Mar Cheshvan is gematria teired, 604. Teired means let it pour down. Shehi ke'ein yuridas ha-shefa nizkar. V'havein. And understand this well. Okay, I'm not going to do the last paragraph inside right now, but I want to just end with one other comment that he has. and you don't have it on the page in front of you, I'm just going to share it with you, in the Tefillah Tzadik for Parshas Noach. He basically goes through this whole piece that we just read, and then he adds one or two other just very quick, interesting things that I want to just very quickly share with you. He ties it, he connects this Nun Ches, these 58 days that we're trying to hold on to. Mar Cheshvan, the Roshim of the Nun Ches. Shomer Nun Ches, hold on to these days. Mar Cheshvan's about your Teiret, let it keep descending, let the Shefa pour down in a good way. Yeah? He says, how does Parshas Noach begin? Eila told us, Noach Ish Tzadik. Right? And Noach was what? He walked with Hashem. Bidoro Sav, Esalo Kimis Halach Noach. He's a Tzadik, Bidoro Sav. He says, Bidoro Sav is spelled Chaser. It's spelled without the Vav. You would think to spell it, Beiz Dalit Vav Resh. Bidor, right? Door is spelled Dalit Vav Resh. Door. So we would spell it. But it's spelled without the Vav. It's spelled. So he says, Bidoro Sav, spelled without the Vav. Right? As if what? As if it's Dalit Resh Tuf. Dorot is spelled Dalit Resh Tuf, which is 604, is Mar Cheshvan. Eila told us Noach is the 58 days. And what does it say? Es Halokim is Halich Noach. And with this I conclude. Es Halokim is Halich Noach. You know what he says? He says a Gematria. He says, Elokim is Halich Noach is Gematria Mar Cheshvan. Right? Es Halokim. But he says, you know what S is? Et Aleph Tav. What's Aleph Tav? S hello Kim is Aleph Nal. S always comes to include. Okay, so it's holding on to what came before. What's Aleph Tav? Aleph Tav beginning end. Okay, try to take it from the beginning of the year, carry it all the way to the end of the year. Good. What else? Aleph Tav is El Tisher. So S hello Kim is Aleph Nal. Right. S Aleph Tav El Tishrei. His Halich Noach, keep it, Nun Ches, those 58 days, keep it up. Eila told us, Noach, keep hold on to those days. Elokim is Halich Noach, is Gematria Mar Cheshvan. So allow Mar Cheshvan to be what? Nothing other than a sweet Hamshach, Udvash Hayom Azeh Hashem. It should be a continuation of the sweetness that we all experience during Elon Tishrei. So therefore, when it's all said and done, like Rav Shlomo used to say, don't call it Mar Cheshvan, call it what? Ram Cheshvan. Ram means elevated. Gevaldik Mam. If you understand it. You can't understand. You don't know the first thing about Chassidus to go back to the world. Cheshvan throws us back out into the world. Yes, it's an afil of sorts. It's the letter Nun. But Nun also could be what? The Nun Shari Bina. Could be the highest level of understanding. It could be the Nun Shari Toma. Einachanami. But it could be the highest level of understanding. It could be the scent. It could be the tragedy. Like was said earlier, right? Dani, you said, right? That when you smell the besamim, it's saying, who said it? Nani said it? You're saying goodbye to your neshama. You're saying goodbye to the lofty levels. But it's also, no, the scent is the part that what? That never sinned by the Chere Tzadas. It's the Reach Nichoch, when Noach comes out of the Teva. And now he's what? He's got to rebuild the world. He's got a mamish, you know, Ish Adama, as he's referred to after he comes out of the Teva. He's not Ish Tzadik anymore. He's not living in the Teva anymore. He's got to come out to the world and build the world. And he offers karbanos, very physical. Seems like a very, very, you know, the Rambam explains that God, Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim, Hashem gave us karbanos because it was a pagan practice, and Hashem said it's going to be hard for you to give up that pagan practice, so I'll make you a firm version of it. But it seems like a very holy thing. Don't take an animal and shecht it and offer it. But that's mamish elevating gashmias. That's the highest madrega. As a diro b'tachton. It creates a reich nichoch. It creates a sweet smell. Mashiach is always associated, and Navi associates Mashiach with smells, the second Torah in Likutei Maran. So, Chaver, it's a month of tremendous opportunity. So, we shouldn't, God forbid, call it Mar Cheshvan, but we should call it Ram Cheshvan, elevated month. Yirtzeh Hashem, we should hold on to all the sweet things that we acquired in Elul and Tishrei. Shkoyach, thanks for coming. Gevaldik month. Okay, we should make it happen. Maybe we'll